And we're talking about spiritual disciplines. Spiritual disciplines. And we're going to cover a few of those disciplines, not all of them that are in the book. And for people who were not yet present, if you listen to this, there'll be a picture of the Celebration of Discipline book, if you're interested to order it. Also, people who want the notes, and just drop me a line, I'll send you a PDF, and of course, it's free of charge, we don't charge money for it. Okay, so we look at the introduction first. It says, this lesson requires time and your full attention. It cannot be rushed if you desire to make good progress in your spiritual development. So take your time to work through it. Look up all scripture references that are mentioned here. This lesson is not about gaining knowledge, but to enter into the presence of God and to hear from Him. Now, taking time, and I would recommend that you read through the notes also during the week, because you're going to miss a whole lot of things. And you'll gain by reading it again and again. I've worked through it many times, especially the last few weeks. And I told Gerda this morning, this one is really cutting deep. And this person who wrote the book, Richard Foster, really understood the problems that we have in Christianity today, how the secular world infiltrated the church and weakened it. And we really ended up with a Christianity that's not what it's supposed to be. If you compare it to Scripture, we're far off the mark here. And no wonder this book is so popular, you know, and has been for so long, because it really touches on those things that we need to pay attention to. So a good verse to start off with is that one quoted Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2. As deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? This is where this is going to take us. It's to that place where we attend to that thirst that's deep inside of our spirit man. The busyness of modern life extends far beyond the hours that you spend earning a living. It also invades your mind where it keeps you engaged, even during times of rest. And you, this company right here, knows all about that.
Thank you.
So stay awake at night, and your head is busy. And there's always a problem to be solved, a concern to address, or new possibilities to investigate. The secular system in which we live today does not schedule time for spiritual matters. And that is very true. It allows no time for spiritual matters. It's no wonder then that you find Christians who are to a great extent entangled in the spirit of the world, just as unbelievers are. You know, it's hard to untangle ourselves because it's become so, it's so one with the way we do things in church today that we don't really know where to draw the line. You know, it's just become part and parcel of the whole thing. There's been that invasion into Christianity, and that weakens the church. The church does not have what it's supposed to have when you read through the Bible. When you read the book of Acts, and you look at any church today, there's no way you can compare. There's no comparison. So this is going to touch on some of that and just bring us to a place where restoration can really happen. It seems we've long forgotten the joy of knowing God, and instead of focus on secondary matters such as theological words and religious practices, many believers do not know how to be still before God, how to meditate on His word, or how to hear from Him. Even sincere believers go from church to church or look for a prophet when they need a word from the Lord, because they themselves do not know His voice. Now, you have that all the time, that people go and they look for somebody special to pray for them or to counsel them, hoping that they will have something, some wisdom from God that will help them. And see, we're supposed to have our own relationship with God and to recognize His voice and to hear from Him for ourselves. Remember Jesus said over there in John chapter 10, "My sheep know my voice, and they don't follow another." But we cannot really say that today because of the way things develop. There's no doubt that the shallowness of life in the world found its way into the church. Superficiality has become the trademark of our age, and to a large extent also of the church. We live with conveniences such as air travel, fast foods, the internet, online shopping, video conferencing, and so on, and naturally expect things to happen fast so that we can fit as much as possible into already full days. With that comes some unrealistic expectations concerning our walk of faith. Now, when you're going to get things from God and hear from Him, you're going to spend some time with Him. And that's taking time, which you most of the time don't have. Especially if you're out there in a rat race, you don't have that time. You don't have it. You know, talking about scheduling time for spiritual matters, when we were back in Canada, our church bought a piece of land on a very prominent corner of town, and we were going to build a church there. And they took us through a long journey because they decided from the beginning we're not going to allow that. But they won't tell you that. It took a long time. We spent thousands of dollars on consultants and people to negotiate on our behalf. And there was always something. They could never give us the final answer. In the end, we just sold the property. But we found out because they did the rezoning. They rezoned the province.
Just so that you couldn't get there?
Every property was rezoned. And when they rezoned every property, there was not a single property zoned for church. But there were properties zoned for things like that you put outside of town where people don't see. Yeah, they were zoned for that. Although there were no applications for that type of thing, there was already provision made for it. See, that's the kind of world we live in today. There's no room for spirituality and for God. And that kind of attitude finds its way into our own lives and minds. And we become so busy that, you know, with all kinds of stuff, that there is no time. And by the time you think, well, I'm going to sit down and read my Bible or pray or whatever, you're too tired. You're too tired. Because it's not a priority. When it becomes a priority, you do it first thing in the day. And you make room for it. Because if you don't do it first thing in the day, let me tell you, it's not going to happen. Not going to happen. The greatest need for today is not for a quick way into the things of God, but for deep people. That is our greatest need, deep people. The hunger and thirst for God cannot be satisfied by a short prayer or reading a few Bible verses. There's a void inside every human being that only God can fill. But the misguided search for the meaning of life and the connection with the living God opens the door to the occult and the mystical, with only more darkness as the result. See, if you want to go for the quick thing, that's where you end up. That's where you end up. The occult opens up. The wrong spiritual side of darkness opens up, and you get drawn into it. So making time, I see, we'll touch on some of this, but the making time to spend time with God becomes a very important matter. And I would venture to say maybe the most important matter, because if you live life to plan for eternity, well, that's what it becomes a priority for sure. Modern Christians have been looking for easy ways to find him, to hear from him, and to receive from him, but mostly failed. Any effort that comes at the cost of time and sacrifice is too expensive. This led to a trend to look for someone with an anointing to lay hands on them to instantly solve their problems or satisfy their longings instead of seeking his face to receive directly from him. Now, we've seen that many times, you know. I had people come to my office with their problems, and then they say, "Don't teach me, just pray for me." They're looking for the quick fix. Well, even if I pray for you, and even if God answers our prayer, if you're not taught, you're going right back to where you just came from. You walk right back into your problem. Because most of the time, the reason why you ended up there is because of wrong thinking that led to wrong living. So to straighten out your problem, you don't need prayer, you need teaching. And that takes time. But we like the quick fix, you know, and you go, now we've seen it in the church world. People go from church to church and service the special services for somebody special to pray for them so that their problems can be solved. But it cannot be solved. And even if God does answer, which sometimes happens, if you follow the path of God, you're going right back. And many will tell you, "You know, I was healed, somebody prayed for me, I was healed, but my sickness is back. Or my problem is back." Well, there's a reason for that. You didn't change the way you live, that's why you went straight back to where you came out of. The quick fix doesn't really, we don't recommend the quick fix. Any effort that comes at a cost of time and sacrifice is too expensive. So this trend to look for someone with an anointing to lay hands on them to instantly solve their problems or satisfy their longings instead of seeking his face to receive directly from him, that doesn't work. Tragically, any benefit gained this way is lost just as quickly again, because the foundation of to successfully bear the weight of such treasure is lacking. And that's very true. And we have seen that Jesus spoke about this when he said, "If you listen to my words and do them, it is like a man building his house on a rock. And the storms come and the winds and all of that, but the house stands because the foundation is strong." So if that foundation is lacking, you're going to have problems. The first little problem that comes, you're gone. Then you say, "Well, this business doesn't work for me. I can't believe the Bible anymore." Well, that's no problem. It's not with the Bible. It's with your foundation that's lacking. That's where the problem is. Proverbs 20, verse 21. An inheritance gained hastily at the beginning will not be blessed at the end. Instant satisfaction is that ever elusive dream, a dream of the present day of Christianity. But God satisfies your needs most of the time through your relationship with Him. Trust is built when His character is understood. Practical discipline leads you from life on the surface to the deep places in God. If the hunger in you is strong, the price of time and effort will not be too high. When nothing else is as important as spending time in His presence, you will find Him. But it will not be quick and it will not be easy. You must first break through the demands of the flesh. The flesh must be fully crucified. That's our big problem. This body we live in is the big problem. You know, it has its cravings, it has its comforts, it has its demands, and all of that. And the body's demands scream out. And that's where we pay attention to that stuff. Instead to the cry of our inner man that seeks the presence of God. So, you know, it says here that those needs, those longings are satisfied when we understand the character of God. And when we build that relationship on a deep level with Him, most of that will be gone. Most of it will be gone, just by that. And so, I believe we become so misguided by all these secular temptations and demands that we don't listen really to the cry of the inner man anymore. It's just gone. Spiritual disciplines are not hard to live by, as they are within reach of everyone. So if you think, oh boy, this is going to be tough, a yes and no. No learning is required. Or special skills develop, even new Christians can practice them. A deep longing for God is all that is needed. We'll touch on that verse, but David talks about deep calling unto deep. And that is where we need to go, where the deep inside of us calls out to the deep that is in God. However, on the other hand, exercising these disciplines are hard because laying down the flesh and going against the spirit of the world is not easy. Its tentacles have already reached deep into the Christian culture to influence our lifestyles, our routines, and the spiritual level of our families. But these things can be broken and brought under subjection to Christ as you reach deeper into the spiritual life. The application of sound disciplines opens the door to real liberty. Their very purpose is freedom from stifling slavery to self-interest and fear. It is not hard to find Him, but it is hard to put down the flesh. You will find that we're going to touch a little bit on this, that when you spend time with God, you make room for Him. You're going to sense His presence. Not easy. It's not difficult. Not difficult at all. You know, James says, when we draw close to God, He will draw close to us, which means He meets us halfway. He desires to fellowship with us. That's a desire of God. That's why He made us to begin with. Is to fellowship with us. And so finding Him is not difficult at all. What is difficult is to silence the flesh and its demands and its cravings and its comforts. That's difficult. So, you know, we read all through the New Testament that we need to crucify the flesh. Romans 12, verse 1. That we offer our body up as a living sacrifice, which means it stays on the altar. It stays there. It's going to burn. When you deny it its cravings, it hurts. That's a sacrificial life. I told you this one's going to hurt a little. The disciplines mentioned here are for everyday Christians who have jobs, children, and are husbands and wives. They are best exercised as part of your daily activities. In fact, if they are to have any transforming effect, they must be practiced in ordinary daily life. In early Christianity, people, even back then when the world was not nearly as wicked as it is today, people found that they were tired of the world and they just wanted to withdraw. Some of them built high, like pillars, towers, and lived on top because they wanted not to be part of the world. So they went up there and lived there. I just came down when they needed things, and went, that's where they lived, up there, separated from the world. Some lived in caves, and that's why you have these monasteries that are out there where it's nothing, because they don't want to be involved in the world and the stuff of the world. But that's not the way to do it, because we need to be here. We are here for a reason. We are here to be salt and light. So if we remove the salt and light, we lost our purpose as Christians. We need to be there. We need to be there. I think I told you, we had a very true saint of God visit us when we still lived in Belgium. And we, our house, just across our house was a pub. And we were sitting in the living room one day, and this friend said, have you been there? I said, no, we don't go there. He said, why not? He said, because if you want to catch fish, you need to go where the fish are. You want to get people saved, you need to go out there where you find them and build relationships with them and bring them in. And so, you know, living separate from the world doesn't mean to ignore them, and you know, it means we don't participate in their way of life. That's all it means. But it doesn't mean to separate ourselves from them physically. We need to be there. How can we reach people with the gospel if we don't get close to them? So when we talk about these disciplines, they don't lead us to that place where we separate ourselves from the world that we live in. Although you're not, there you go, you're not of this world anymore, you are still in the world. So the thought of a life withdrawn from the world is fundamentally flawed. Christianity was intended to be lived in every area of life, in relationships, in marriages, businesses, social lives, and so on. Practicing spiritual disciplines is simply living in the presence of God. Now, I sent you a link, didn't I, of the little booklet called Practicing His Presence. It's on the chat. It's also available on Amazon. Highly recommended.
Practicing?
practicing his presence.
His presence.
He's on the chat. But that one is equally recommended. There are two people that contribute to this, a small book. The one left more or less in our time. I think he died in his 70s or 80s. But the other one lived in the 1600s. And they decided to go through the day, all day long, in the presence of God. And so the one person started by saying, I'm going to bring God into my mind every 15 minutes. I'm going to think about God. Now, he failed for a while, you know, because our minds are so busy. But he eventually managed. And then he brought it closer and closer and closer until God filled his mind completely, all day long. Now, you get that little book and read it, you'll see that that kind of life is possible. You know, we live at a time in human history where we're at the end of this era. We are going to see very big changes in the world. Soon. We already see it. I think it will be expedited. We're going to see big changes next year, 2025. And with that, I believe there's a pressure building up in the spiritual world, and we'll see the effect in the natural world. And we might see some manifestations that we've never seen before. And we need to be ready for that. We need to be ready for it. And to be ready for it, we need to be in the presence of God. Now, you probably saw that little testimony of Tucker Carlson, where he was attacked by some evil
demon
force. I don't know if you know who Dr. Naomi Wolf is.
Mm-hmm.
She had a similar experience. She just wrote about it. And woke up in the morning with scratches on her body, and she didn't know what it was. And while she was taking pictures of it, it disappeared. While she took the pictures. So.
While she was taking the pictures, yes, of the scar, the marks,
yes,
they disappeared.
They disappeared.
Wow.
So I'm saying this because this is going to become more mainstream because of that. The devil knows his time is short. He's going to act up in different ways. So whether we see that personally or not, all I know is that for us to go into this period of time, we need to be in the presence of God.
So they are attacked because of their belief, not,
yes,
because they don't believe.
Right.
Tucker, yeah, Carlson is not a Christian, I would say.
No, well, he started reading the Bible.
Yeah.
He says he's Episcopalian.
Yeah,
yeah.
And he's attacking the dark side of
he's
politics.
He's attacking the dark side.
And I think that's why he got attacked. But he started reading the Bible very seriously.
He said after that attack, he just had this feeling that he just needed to start reading the Bible.
Yeah. No, Naomi Wolf, she's a Jew.
What is her name?
Naomi Wolf. She's a Jewish woman. She was an advisor both to Al Gore and Bill Clinton. She's way up there in the Democrat side. But she had some experiences. She wrote about it quite a bit. And then she started reading the Tanakh. The Tanakh is an English translation of the first five books of the Bible, which are called the Torah, the first five books that Moses wrote. And although she reads Hebrew, the Tanakh was translated from Hebrew into English. And we have a Tanakh at home. But she also compared the Tanakh to the Geneva Bible of the 1560, which was the first one, and that was written in English. And that Bible was translated from Hebrew into English. Our Bible is translated from Latin, many of them. So it's a translation of a translation. And while she was doing it, and she was doing it on video for some reason, and while she was doing that, that's when that attack happened.
On video?
She's reading it on video. She didn't have the attack on video. But,
okay.
But she was just starting this project.
So do you see any, I mean, right now they're talking about aliens and so on and so forth, and I just wonder if that's coming about right now to justify or to explain these attacks that might be increasing.
That might be part of it. That might very well be part of it. I think...
Well, it's the same that, you know, there's a concern that the rapture will be explained by alien abduction, right?
Ooh. Yeah.
I want that.
But there's a lot more to it, of course, than just that. So, saying all of that, just to emphasize the importance for us Christians to get out of what we call cultural Christianity into a real spiritual walk with God and walking and living in His presence. Because that's going to be very, very needful for us to do.
And also we need to walk closer to the Lord, because in the last days the Bible says that even the elect could be deceived. So if we're not spot on close to the Lord, it will be easy to be deceived. So.
You cannot be ignorant.
No.
That's fatal. To be ignorant about God and Scripture and all of that in these days, that would be a fatal mistake, for sure.
And that's where we're going now, to the deep things.
Oh, you mean here?
Yeah.
All right. So, and there is a perception that the Christian life is dull and void of joy. Even some Christians hate the very word discipline, because they hear it in the absence of things that make life pleasant. But joy is the keynote of all the spiritual disciplines. When one's inner man is set free from all that holds it down, it can hardly be described as dull drudgery. Singing, dancing, laughing, shouting, and so on characterize the disciplines of the spiritual life. We find our greatest joy in spiritual things, because we are essentially spiritual beings. I think our bodies, our flesh, with all its yelling and screaming for comforts and whatever it craves, really is a major distraction of where we ought to be and ought to go. And so the hard part in all of this is to crucify the flesh. That's always been the difficult part, to silence it. We have our comforts, we don't want to give them up. But when Paul says, "I've been crucified with Christ," I don't live anymore. Christ lives in me. That's what he's talking about. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, take up your cross. That means you're dead. If you carry a cross, that means you're dying. You're going to be dead. And so that's the big thing that we struggle with today. And then when you look at secular life, all its attention is focused on the flesh and its pleasures and its comforts and whatever the flesh wants. All of it is aimed at the flesh, all of it, 100% of it. And that's our downfall. And the more we tap into it, the harder it will be for us to crucify the flesh. Because we need to lay off some of that. You know. Now we're going to touch on some disciplines, and we're going to spend some time on it. And the first one will be meditation. And we might not get to it today, but we'll get to it eventually. And that's going to be very, very important, because it has to do with the mind. And what we fill the mind with. So let's look at points to ponder. The pain of denying the flesh its sinful cravings is the true sacrifice. I believe it's different for everybody, but crucifying it is the same for everybody. We need to lay it down. Consider the barrenness of a busy life. A busy person is spiritually bankrupt. That's all we can say about it. It's spiritually bankrupt. There's nothing there. There's nothing there. You accomplish nothing. Remember what Jesus said, the last days will be like the days of Noah. They'll be eating and drinking, you know, and life is busy, we have things to take care of, we don't have time for spiritual things that we cannot see and touch. We don't have time for that. We're too busy, and when we're not busy, we're tired. That's our downfall. The whole priority is wrong. Set of priority is totally wrong. Time spent waiting on God is not time wasted. One word from God can save you years of struggling. One word from God can save you years of struggling and looking for answers. And so you just spend one moment with Him. Is one thing. I'm reading through the book of John right now, and coincidentally, I guess, I read through that portion where Jesus had a meal towards the end of the book, where Mary came and broke that alabaster cask and anointed him with that oil. And immediately, and the whole house was filled with that beautiful fragrance. And immediately when she did it, there was criticism. Why did she do that?
Criticism,
yeah.
Why did she do that? You could have sold it for money. You know. If you think about it, When we encounter a problem, one of the first solutions we look for is how much it's going to cost to fix that problem. There's always a monetary value attached to it. Always. Oh, not always, most of the time. You know, when Jesus was going to feed the 5,000 and the 4,000, one of the disciples said, we don't have enough money to buy so much food. He wasn't thinking of what Jesus could do. He was thinking of money. And we still think that way today. We don't think Jesus can fix the problem. We think, where do we get the money for this? See, that's secular thinking that found its way into our minds already. So there's a whole mind shift that we need to make happen. Are you okay with all of this?
Do you want us to start crying?
Understand.
Yes. But there is a reason why this book has been a bestseller for so long. Because people begin to find solutions to the problems of life, which can only be solved in the presence of God. That's all. And that's where we need to go. And especially now that the world is falling apart, there's no politician on the globe that can solve any problems. They created the problems. Okay, let's move on. Two obstacles to overcome. The first obstacle we often encounter is the reality of the spiritual world. Because we don't see it and we cannot touch it, we don't think of the spiritual world and we don't realize the reality of it, how real it really is. And actually, it's more real than the natural world that we can see and touch. Because the spiritual world is eternal. And the natural world changes all the time. Everything that you see changes, including you. It changes all the time. And the Bible says the spiritual world is eternal. Therefore, it's more powerful, it's more real. It has a great impact on the natural world where we live. And so, instead of focusing on what's changing all the time around us, we need to put our attention to where the real power is. Western Christianity is so conditioned by the world that it only believes in what it can see. Even Christians find it difficult to enter into the world of the Spirit, even though the spiritual world is as real as the natural. As spiritual people, we should enter into it, though. It is a dwelling place of God, the realm of the Word, and the home of angels, God's messengers, on our behalf. Verse 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Cannot know them. There's no clue, and he doesn't believe in them. You talk about an unsaved person, about spiritual things, he thinks you're a fool. You probably have been told already that you're fools. Because they don't understand. They have no access to it. There's no concept of the spiritual world at all. Now, we cannot, once we're born again, we cannot have that attitude and be as ignorant as they are. We need to get in there. The natural mind does not grasp the spiritual world and always tries to reason and debate it into non-existence, with skepticism and fear as the result. However, spiritual things are not of the mind, but of the heart, and the spiritual experiences are real, with undeniable effects that can be seen and felt in the natural world.
Why are some people allowed to see things, but not everybody?
I don't think it's a question of being allowed. You'll see things. You see things. And some of it, you'll see the effect of it in the natural. Remember in John chapter 3, where Jesus spoke about the new birth to Nicodemus, he said, everyone who was born again is like the wind. You don't know where it's coming from, and you don't know where it's going, because you cannot see it. You cannot see the wind, but you see the effect. And we'll see the effect of it a lot. But there will be times when God will just draw the curtain a little bit so that you can see. We'll see things. We'll touch on that too. You'll see things. The main thing for us, and we have to be careful and always discern, that whatever you see, whether it's a vision or a dream, it must align with Scripture. Because the devil will also give you dreams to deceive you. So we need to always align it with Scripture. If it doesn't align, you just reject it. The second hindrance is simply ignorance, for we do not know how to explore the spiritual. This was not always the case, though, as early believers knew these secrets very well and practiced them regularly. It was so common that the Bible didn't find it necessary to give much instruction on them. The discipline of fasting, for instance, was so widely practiced that no one had to ask what to eat before a fast and how to break it or how to avoid dizziness while fasting. It's everybody fasting. So these things were practiced widely.
I was just listening to Tucker Carlson with the guy Alex Jones, that he has that application called Hallow.
Yeah.
Have you heard of that?
No. I've already mentioned that.
Yeah, it's to, he's a young guy. It's not the other Alex Jones, but he's only like 31 years old now. But he started this when he was like 25. And it's about meditation, scripture, prayer, you know, and all these things. He's talking about, and I've never realized this, but he was talking about fasting. And he said it used to be so common, like you're saying, because he said, like what Jesus said, when you fast.
Yes.
Not, you know, so it was like everybody fasted. They just knew that they did that.
Yeah.
And so there's so many things I think we've just gotten so far
away
from for many reasons. But
I
thought that was something I'd never like really picked up on. It just seemed more, you know, like unusual and because of how we live our lives, but it wasn't then.
And you know, if you think of the parable of the sower, one of the ways that the seed gets stolen is the busyness of life. You know, because we're so busy with everything that even though we put the word in, it's going nowhere because we don't have time or make time to meditate about it, to allow it to grow, you know, but because of the busyness.
And now there's a push for intermittent fasting.
Yeah.
Right? And we think that, oh, what is that?
Yeah, but I mean, that's for health.
I know, I understand, but it's like, you know, it seems to be edging back into our consciousness.
But to me, this is like that and some other things that people are talking about health when they're just talking about fasting where it's only focused on health. To me, that is, I mean, maybe this is wrong and I shouldn't see it this way, but for everything that God gives us, then the devil has a replacement. God gave us fasting for spiritual growth and to become in his presence and all that. It wasn't so your body would be clean and you'd lose weight and whatever. And the devil replaced, because people are starting to get into fasting, and I think the devil doesn't want us to see what the positive spiritual effects of fasting are. And so he gives us these other things rather than what it was first.
It has to do with the focus of the fast.
Yeah.
So if you're going to focus on health, well, then that's what you'll get.
Mm-hmm.
But if you focus on, right. on the spirituality, well, that's a different thing.
Yeah, the whole thing with fasting, that health benefit is in there, sure.
Yes.
But now the devil is, he focuses on that part and brings that out, and then you get
sidetracked. It's not the focus.
Right.
It just happens to be a good thing that also comes from
exactly.
it.
Yeah.
These other people, they're talking about focus on health for the health reasons.
Okay.
Yeah.
We will talk in this... teaching on fasting, and touch just a little bit on it, you know, for spiritual reasons, of course. Back in Bible times, of course, people didn't really have to fast for health reasons because they didn't eat the garbage that we eat today. They only had healthy food. So when they fasted, it was for spiritual reasons.
Yeah.
You read about Daniel in the book of Daniel, how he fasted. Jesus fasted. His disciples fasted. The disciples of John fasted. Even the Pharisees fasted. Everybody fasted. And we'll talk about that. Okay, we're on the top of page 5. It points to ponder. The spiritual world dominates the natural world because it is of a greater reality. You have access to the spiritual world as a born-again believer. And for good reason. When you were born again, and the Spirit was made alive, and you gained access to the spiritual world. And you have access to the presence of God. I mean, we have a standing invitation in Scripture. Where we have an invitation to come into the throne room and do so boldly. When we need grace and mercy, that's usually the times when we avoid the throne room. You know, when we messed up, we feel so inferior that we rather not talk about that. But that's actually the time when we need to go and do so boldly, because we have access, and we should take advantage of it. Because it's been given to us for a reason. You remember, it was never God's idea for the church to be weak. You read the book of Acts, you don't see a weak church at all. You see power. And that is God's idea for the church, is to have power. And power comes from His presence. It's the presence of God upon us. When Jesus announced His ministry, there in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, He said, I'm anointed by the Holy Spirit. And then He started to say what He came to do. So that anointing is the presence of God upon His life. And that is what we need. If Jesus needed the anointing, we do too. There's no way we're going to win a devil with our mental smarts. It's not possible. I'll just tell you right off the bat, the devil is a lot smarter than every one of us. You cannot beat him with your mental intellect. You need the Spirit of God, the power of God. That will get him to back down and back off. He won't listen to you. He will not listen to you if the presence of God is not upon you. He's going nowhere. But when he sees God's power upon you, he'll stay away from you. Okay.
I just want to say this. You know, Psalm 91 says, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I'm reading through the book of Acts now. And Peter, you know, he walked in the streets and the people would just take their sick outside and leave them there so that Peter's shadow can fall on them and they get healed. And I believe that is when you dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Why can't that be possible to them?
Well, the Bible is clear to say that Jesus doesn't change.
No.
Nothing changed. We did.
We did.
We did. Now we can go back, right? We need to do what James says. Draw close to God. He'll draw close to you. And that is what this teaching is going to be about, is to help us to get there. So we'll end there for today. And we'll talk about the bondage we have with our habits next time.
Habits are hard.
Yeah.
Those are the hard ones.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so I suppose next Sunday we will have absentees.
No.
Oh, thank you, Kathy.
I look forward to this all week.
Yes. Me too.